You're listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast, recorded at the BVA headquarters with your hosts, Troy McClain and Tommy Ahlquist. Each episode is focused on shedding new light on different perspectives to create dialogue that inspires excellence.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another amazing episode with Inspire Excellence Idaho. I'm Troy McClain, Tommy Ahlquist, and today we have a very relevant and timely topic with a personal friend and community leader, Mr. Steve Soleil, President and CEO of Ataraxis. Steve, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Troy. It's great to be here.
It is.
Steve, Tommy.
Awesome. Hey, Steve, we're really excited to have you on. Let me tell you what, I'm fielding calls right and left and texts from people that are absolutely anxious, trying to figure this out, not exactly sure where to go. The other thing I would point out is it seems like the news cycle used to be like a 24-hour news cycle. Now it's a 2 to 4 to 6 hour news cycle.
No doubt.
And it's people's livelihoods that are on the line here. So thank you for coming on today, because your company can be a resource. And I think that's how we'll start this, is if you're looking for help, this is exactly what your company was built for. So we really appreciate you being on today.
Yeah, I absolutely. I'm happy to be here. I was going to say that it's a 24-minute news cycle, it seems like, instead of 24 hours.
It is going so fast. And what I want to do is, just by way of introduction to Steve for you, and just kind of give you my own personal shout out and pat on the back, not that you need it. For those listeners and those viewers that are, we're going to go get into how to manage your business through crisis. Steve is the leading expert in that. He runs a PEO. He is a senior consultant for businesses across the country. And if it was ever more needed to get this information, it's now. But what I also want everybody to know is that my youngest sister, who is profoundly deaf and developmentally delayed, Steve has been beyond amazing and wonderful and has granted her the gift of employment. And like, she literally thinks she's the president of the United States. So only thing that I'm upset with Steve about right now, Tommy, is with the crisis, everybody has to be home, and I'm not Steve. I'm not Ataraxis. See, I'm like, oh, I don't know how they do it. Like, I guess they do everything better than me. So I'm a little bit mad at you about that, buddy.
I'm sorry about that. Do you tell her I said hi, and I do miss her. I miss seeing them every day. They are both wonderful.
They are. I will.
Hey, Steve, I've got a bunch of questions to ask, and I can't wait to do that. But before we do, tell us a little bit about your business. If you could just give us your elevator speech of why that it's so critical right now to have folks like you out there helping us and what you do.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Tommy. Ataraxis PEO, we're a professional employer organization. And what that really means, there's a lot of them out there. I am not an HR person. And I start from that beginning. I'm a business owner. I'm an entrepreneur. I've started many businesses, CEO of a couple right now. But what I looked at when I was looking at a PEO was, I was trying to find one that actually would do something for me and really be involved with my business and take these things over. And so what we've built over the last 10 years is a company that is your HR department, is your payroll department, is your benefits department, is answering all these questions, and is going to answer them not only for the business owner, but also for the employees. And what it's going to do is, it allows the business owner to really focus on their business. And I think that's what's been so apparent these last probably 2 weeks, as it's really started to impact us here in Idaho. And we felt it with clients that were in other areas, but in Idaho is where we got a lot of our clients, is all of a sudden they said, I don't know what to do. I don't know how any of this works, what it means. And everybody started to panic. And what we were able to do is to really get in there, disseminate and figure out the information and say, this is how it's going to work. This is what it does, and this is what you need to do. And the first thing you need to do is not panic, which is the most important thing in a crisis, is not panic. I mean, we had people that were like, should I lay everybody off? And it was 3 weeks before April 1st when the FMLA and the PSO, those two things just went into effect today. But you would think that they were in effect 2 or 3 weeks ago by the way people were acting and what they were doing and saying, thinking it was going to ruin their business. And it hadn't even done anything yet. It was just a bill.
Hey Steve, I'm going to give you an analogy before we start and then ask you a question, because, and I do this often with Troy too, and it's just because it's the way I was built in the ER, right? You did advanced trauma life support, advanced cardiac life support. You had disaster deals because you knew they were going to come, right? You just knew things were coming. Business is not that much different. And if you have those training and ready to go when it comes, it allows you to triage. It allows the processes to be in place so that you can survive. So if I had to ask you what you're hearing, because I know you're doing the same thing where you're helping so many people through these times with their business, what are the tools that are out there? What are the processes? What are the ways that you're helping triage and make those decisions, keeping people calm and helping them get through this crisis?
Well, the first thing we're doing is we're telling them, don't make rash decisions. Don't just jump to a conclusion thinking that there's a problem. With our clients, what we do is since we are their HR department, they're coming to us and saying, I think I'm going to have X, Y, and Z happen. We then talk through it with them in a conversation and really make sure that that's going to affect their business. And when we do that, then we decide, okay, you are going to have this happen. We can build the entire structure around how they're going to handle that. We can build the processes. We can build the actual procedures that they need to have, the written procedures that say, this is how you're going to handle these situations. You know, I know you're involved in the healthcare industry, Tommy, and that's one of those with this FMLA that healthcare was, it's exempted. It could be exempted. You could choose to be exempted. And it was kind of gray. What are you going to do with that? We have a lot of healthcare clients. So we worked with them individually to decide on what kind of policies they were going to create to say, we're going to accept this and we're going to allow this to happen, but we're not going to allow this to happen. Because it's an individual conversation. Whereas one company might be bigger and be able to handle it if more people go out on something and a smaller one couldn't. You know, 10% of one company could be, you know, not a big deal, whereas 10% to another company could kill them.
Yeah.
And so that's why we want to look at each individual client and we can customize what we do for them, but we have the expertise as if it was for specifically their business. You know, I don't know how many businesses that, you know, Troy, your size or my size internally or any, you know, you got a company that's 25, 30, 50 people. You're never going to hire a staff of 30 people to take care of you on this stuff.
No. And I think it's important to point out, Steve, that is only come to my kind of attention and my realization in the last 2 weeks. We are underutilizing our PEOs. We are underutilizing our resources. Tommy and I in our last podcast and our last couple podcasts, this is really starting to percolate up. We see things from the obvious, like, oh, that's just the guy that cuts my paycheck. We don't realize the massive amount of support that we have invested into, and you're there to give it back because that's you're the SME, you're the subject matter expert. So I'm literally out there today going, oh my God, I'm calling Tommy, I'm calling it. What do I do? I just need to call my subject matter expert. But I think it's important for every business owner to realize you have to look within before you go panic and look without. Because we have people right there.
Yep. Well, and I think that, you know, as a leader, you've got to be, and we all three of us know that, you have to be calm first. And whether you're panicked on the inside, you actually have to just gather yourself first so you can go out and talk and say, you know what? It may be a scary time right now, but we're going to figure out how to get through this instead of being the one that threw gasoline on themselves and lit themselves on fire and then ran around the building. Well, that is, I think, the worst thing that you could do. And I've unfortunately seen leaders who are the ones that get upset first, and then everybody else kind of has to decide whether or not they're the ones, you know, that are going to calm the situation. But leaders,
let me ask you this, Steve.
Calm it down.
Yeah, it really is true. Tommy, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. So a lot of times
in conversations,
there's a lot of great information. But if I'm a business owner sitting home right now and I'm listening to this and I'm saying, this all makes sense to me. This all feels good to me. I need it. I'm anxious. I'm ready for help. I got help right here that can help me. But where do they start? Tell us, how do they start?
Well, I mean, I think you got to start as what do you have as a resource for yourself? What do you have internally? What are you doing? What are your capabilities? And then what do you want to focus on? Because there's a lot of reasons why some people might want to do some of this themselves. There's other reasons why they wouldn't. So you decide what is going to be best for you. And then you look at what I need in a partner. You know, I started this business because I didn't want to do any of this. And that's the irony of it is I didn't want to do any of it, but now I do all of it. So what do you think of that?
But Steve, I think what you're saying, I want our listeners and our viewers to know is you really start by doing an assessment of your assets and of your, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying before you do ready, fire, aim, you want to do ready, aim, fire. So you want to really do an assessment of your assets and your relationships, both professionally and personally. Is that, yep. And then decide where you want to go before you start going. That's the absolutely. Other thing I'm hearing you saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I would much rather see, you know, from a service provider level, if you look at it, I'd rather have a client who's prepared to work with us, or at least is open and saying, I want to work with you, whether they know what that means or not. Versus yeah. somebody who comes and then fights it. Because I've had clients that fight it. And, you know, anybody that fights a situation is really just, it's like, what do you, you know, the first thing they do when you try to save a drowning man is what, knock him out so that he can drown you as well.
Tommy, is that true? Can I do that to people?
Yep.
So you got to make sure that the client who you're working with is understands what that means. And if they don't want the form of relationship that we have, which is we're going to do everything for you.
Yeah.
And figure out what you're looking for in that partnership and go find someone who's going to service that. But don't jump into something just because you think it sounds good. What works for you is not going to work for the next person. Just in any relationship. And banks are the same way. There are some mm-hmm. banks that are great for one business and they're not great for another business. That's why we have lots of banks. And that's why we have lots of different service providers. We want to make sure that we're working with someone who understands the value of the relationship. We want to work yep. with somebody who wants to make their business better, who wants to make sure their employees are taken care of, because that's our focus. Our focus is to make sure businesses are going to succeed, which, you know, and I look at this kind of time period, it's like we're made for this, is because businesses don't know if they're going to make it through this kind of thing. We're sitting here in the COVID-19, you know,
pandemic.
It's a pandemic and we don't know if we're going to make it through. And the reason that they've got all these economic stimulus packages and what the president has put out there is that the economy was good and then mm-hmm. it wasn't. And if we're not able to start right back up when it's passed by, then it could be really damaging and a lot of great businesses would go out of business. So we have to understand the assets of what we have. And I think that that's the same thing when we look at anything that we're looking at. And
whether
it's taking a loan out to save our business or to pay our people, what do we have and what are the resources and assets? So I say that it's almost like, what's your inventory of skills?
Yep.
And sometimes you're going to have that internally and sometimes you're going to have that for relationships. And then you're going to realize which ones you don't have. And those are the first ones to go after.
Yeah. And in this market, Steve, right now, today, as you said, it's a crisis. It's a global crisis. How do we, or what advice would you give right now that you're helping with your existing client? Because those that haven't signed up with you yet are still looking for advice. Those that have signed up with you, are asking you for advice. And this is a question that I'm just coming up with on top of my head. What are you being asked from your current clients? And what is that advice you would give to those that aren't even your clients in today's world right now?
Yeah, well, one thing we are doing, because I am a big believer in abundance.
Yeah.
I think that
we all are.
The more you give, the more you get. And so what we're creating a daily communication to our clients that we have a lot of partners that we send it to. And we tell them, send it to anybody you want. Because it's got good information in there about what you need to look at and what you need to do. And I, you know, if they become clients of mine, that's great. I believe that that's just going to put us in a position. If we can save a business that might have gone under, or we can calm people down and make them feel better about it and help them go forward, then we've succeeded in that. So first we want to help our clients, but we want to help everybody else as well. So what we're hearing is really understanding what is the impact on my business of these things that have passed? Mm-hmm. Because as I said earlier, you've got something that just went into effect today that we've been talking about for 3.5 weeks. And the way that people talk about it, you'd think that it had been in place for weeks already, but it just took effect today.
Can you give an overview, just a quick overview of what actually went into effect today? Some people don't even know.
So what went into effect today is that what they're calling the EFMLA and the EPSL.
EFMLA. I'm writing this down.
Family Medical Leave Act that they extended down to basically every company in the United States, down to the one person level. Now they have mechanisms in there where you could say, I'm under 50, I need to be exempted, or I'm under 25 and I need to be exempted. But the reasons to be exempted are going to be pretty hard because what it does is that the FMLA Act allows you to pay somebody, it's somebody to be paid for 12 weeks of care if they have child care. There's no way to take care of a child and I can't work. The beautiful part about it is what we're doing right now is that we can work from home. In a lot of professional circumstances, mm-hmm. a lot of jobs, we can work from home. So since we can work from home, we can work. Well, if you can work and I got to take care of a child, then I don't need FMLA because I can still be paid by my employer to do my job.
Right.
So that's what the FMLA is. The PSL is the personal sick leave. And that is 2 weeks. If I'm quarantined, if I think I have the virus by a doctor's note, or I actually have the virus, there's 2 weeks of paid sick leave. Now, the key to this and what employers originally thought was, is I can't afford to do this. But what the government said was, is that, look, this is important. You can't have people who are sick coming to work. You can't have people who leaving their kids at home to just go crazy.
Yeah.
So what do? So the government said, we will pay these employees, but we're going to do it through the employer. And so you've got an employee that says, hey, I've got to be quarantined. I got 2 weeks. I'm going to be out. They go out. The employer still continues to pay them. What the employer then does is that they get to take that and they get to take it against the taxes they would normally pay, which would be the 941 taxes,
so yep.
the FICA and the federal withholding. So to use an example, my payroll is $20,000. I have someone who's paid $2,000. My taxes are $6,000. I would then only pay $4,000 in taxes in order to make up for the $2,000 that I had to pay this person that's out on sick leave. So the government just paid for them to be at home,
wow.
not spreading the disease. And the employer can still get the money to them. So I think one thing I've understood about all this, and Tommy, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. But as I look at the different bills that have been passed, what is being done is that the government said we need to get money to the people and we need to get money to the businesses. What is the easiest way to do that? Well, when they're sick, the easiest way is to give it to the business to pay the employee and we'll give it back to the business. And then when it comes to the businesses, like the PPP loans, which are the payroll protection program loans, let's give it to the banks to give to the business because that's the best conduit to do it. And that's all that the government is trying to do is get the hands of the money into the hands of the people who need it right now. And that's the businesses and the employees.
And is the PPP also rolled out, Steve?
This is amazing. It passed Friday last week, signed by the president Friday last week, Saturday. The loans, you should be able to put applications into your bank Friday, April 3rd. That is unheard of.
No way.
To government.
Here's where Tommy and I both have had the questions, and Tommy, I'd like to hear your input on this, but the question I keep asking, because I come from a traditional loan background, like we get W-2s, tax returns, you know, quarterly, what is the, and I don't know if anyone knows this answer, and Tommy, I am going to look at you, but what is the current qualifications for this stuff?
Well, so a couple things on the PPP that I think are interesting. I'm actually a little worried about how it's rolling out because it's actually going through the banks, which is a great thing. They have relationships. I understand that. But if you look at the number of SBA loans that they were doing and what they're going to have to do, there is going to be some pain because it's just a ramp up that is exponential. And so I think that also behooves anybody listening to this. You want to get in line as early as you can because those lines are going to be long and get a little cumbersome. It would have been possible, I think, for the government actually got a friend kind of on the inside who told me this, because you pay your taxes to the treasury, right? That's who you pay your taxes to every quarter as a business.
Yep.
So they know you exist. They know what your payroll is because you're paying taxes. It would have been relatively easy, I think, to maybe have those payments made directly to the business, because it would also reduce fraud, right? Because if I know you're paying taxes to me as the treasury and I know what your payroll is, then I can give you a loan based on your payroll that I know what it is. So that didn't happen. I think it's going through the banking, which that's what's going to happen. So get it in early. But basically, Troy, there is no underwriting for these, but there is some backstop because they know you're a business. They know you have a number. They know you've been paying taxes on a payroll. So, so I do think, you know, as always, there's going to probably be someone that's trying to take advantage of the system, but it's going to be hard to do that because you have to have your taxpayer ID number. You got to have some information that they can verify who you are and that you are a business and that you have been paying taxes. And then you're able to get 2.5 times that number. And Steve, I'm not an expert, so I'm already like way in over my head right now.
But this is where I want to say this is why trusted information. That's why trusted information is so important. I mean, we have so much disinformation.
Yeah.
Out there, yet I got Ataraxis, Steve, Dr. Tommy Ahlquist right in front of me. So as Ataraxis and as you guys are focusing on this, how do we know that it's trusted information and who are the trusted advisors?
Well, I mean that's the thing where it changes. It seems to change every 24 minutes, really. What we knew this morning actually right now has changed quite a bit. They were originally going to do the bank training on Thursday afternoon. They pushed it to Friday morning. When you push it to Friday morning, that means the applications are probably going to push to Friday afternoon before they can really be in. If any banker, if you're watching this before Friday, April 3rd, what you're going to know is that a banker cannot help you right now because they don't know.
Yeah.
You can't, if there's any application they're telling you to fill out beforehand, there's nothing. Not a whole lot that they know because we've seen the application, we think. It came from the Department of Treasury, but that doesn't mean they can't change it because they're still arguing with the SBA over how the program should work. So there's just a whole lot of stuff going on that we just don't know. We know that what's supposed to happen is that the business is supposed to have to give very little information in order to get the money, because the point of it is to get the money quickly. The whole goal was, if you need under $1 million, you get it within 36 hours.
Hey, so, Steve, one thing I want to make sure is clear to everyone, because as I'm listening to you during these times, it is changing so quickly. And what I like about your business and what you do is you have so many different areas of business that you cover, because each of these companies are going to have a lot of questions. They're going to have HR questions, right? They're going to have payroll questions. Now they're going to have COVID-19 loan questions. And so I just want to make it clear that you kind of said it already, but I'm going to say it again. Your company does an assessment if they come to you and say, hey, we need help. This is our assessment of what you really need. And it may be that you need lots of things, or it may be that you're going to give a little advice and say, hey, you're pretty well set up, go do this. But the point is, with your shop, you have services that can go as deep as need be to help during this time of crisis. And it sounds like this COVID-19 loan program and the stimulus package that passed, we're all going to need help from experts like you.
Yeah.
Because as much as I hear and read and try to stay up on it, it changes so quickly. You're going to have a consultant. You're going to have an expert that's saying, hey, let me help you get there. And if you don't, you're going to end up probably being farther in line than those folks that got out a little bit ahead because they had an expert. Is that fair?
That is fair. And I think the other thing that you need an expert outside, and nothing against bankers. I have a lot of friends that are bankers, but one of the struggles is, I think you mentioned it earlier, is how it's the underwriting for this is so different than anything that's ever existed before. Mm-hmm. It's hard for them not to be a banker. And so they all have their interpretation of it. And so you need to make sure that you've got somebody kind of on your side that is,
that, by the way, is why that's one of the things that happens with the whole. So
I love it.
I love it. I'm going to let my doggy in next. And by the way, Dorlin,
I got three dogs here. And so, and one was just barking in the background. I think you heard it.
I promise I hit mute. I was just too late.
That was okay.
It's all right, man.
It shows we're in a whole new world and it's okay.
You know what I think, though? I'm going to digress a little bit and just rabbit hole it. What I do is I think it opens up more authenticity and it humanizes us businessmen. I'm going to tell two stories about both of you on this rabbit hole. I was an up-and-comer. I was not a Dr. Tommy Ahlquist. I was not a Steve Soleil. I've shared this with you, Steve, and I've shared this with you, Tommy. I thought you guys were unapproachable. I thought you guys like, man, I'm not talking to that dude. That guy, I want to talk to that dude, but I'm not talking to him. And to now be able to say, I'm your friends. Like, I think people also look at Ataraxis or look at the names Dr. Tommy Ahlquist, Steve Soleil, and they attach a misbranded persona that they're so big, they're so untouchable, I can't approach them. Yet here we are today. Tommy, you got dogs in the background. I got my kid sister knocking right now saying, I want to talk to Steve. And I'm going, go away, go away, go away. We're human and we're here to help. And I think it's important to humanize the Ataraxis experience and the community leader experience. I think it's totally important. Sorry to rabbit hole. I just wanted to share that.
Okay. We are totally about people. So when you do see your sister and her boyfriend, Steve, give him a fist bump for me because that's what we do.
I've told him twice to go away, but they've been texting me. I'm like, I'm in an interview. Go away.
I do appreciate the human aspect that this brings to everything now. Mm-hmm. And I think that it kind of takes away a lot of the facades that people have that we kind of are a come as you are kind of a situation of working from home and trying to make sure that we still can communicate as people and get business done. And I think it means that we're really more than ever in it together than we've ever been before. So, going back to finish the thought about the bankers is the bankers are great and bankers are there to help you, but they have their own rules and regulations. And so if you have somebody that can help you work with them, because there are going to be regulations that come out, and then you have to weed through what are the regulations that you need to do. And then what is the bank doing?
And yep.
So every bank's going to approach it a little bit differently.
I'm taking notes just so you know.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be bank. It's going to determine on how the bank feels their liability is in this situation. And the more that they feel liable for it, then the more insecure they're going to be, the more rules they're going to put around it for someone to come in through their gate to play in this arena and to get these loans. And so just making sure that you find somebody that can help educate you is really important.
What's your hours of operation during this crisis, and how are people communicating with your source of expertise?
Well, and what's funny is I probably worked, I'm working from home and I've worked more now than I have in, years. Our hours.
You're muted, Tommy.
Unmuted.
I agree with that. It's funny, with this, you'd think we'd be working a little less. We're not working less.
No.
We're working more. And then I think that boundary of, at least you separated it and you kind of said, okay, I'm done for the day and I'm coming home. Well, now it's just, I'm not done. So it's interesting, isn't it?
It's definitely harder. So
this is going to be the most humanized interview because my sister has now refused to listen to my order. Is literally walking in and I'm talking to Steve. By the way, I want to let all my viewers and listeners know, my sister literally loves Steve as a boss and loves going to work every day and is truly, truly depressed. So I apologize. She is walking in.
Hi.
They said,
How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Do you miss him? She's missing you very bad, she said.
I miss you too.
He says he misses you the same and soon he's come back to work. Soon. Yep. You promise?
I promise. Back, you're back.
Okay, I got to finish the talk, okay? Yeah. Okay, so I want to talk to you later, fist bump. Oh, God, that's great. That will just show all of our viewers and getting sincerely back on track and truly having a levity to this moment. That's how valuable you guys are. You got a kid with special needs who thinks she is the president of the United States because of the way you guys treat her. And some people on a hierarchy will say she's at the bottom of the barrel. And yet she's saying, I'm the greatest. So if you're treating those that people think are small, if you're treating your clients even the same as her and a little bit more, you're the number one company to go to. You're the number one trusted resource to go to. I just have to say that, honestly.
I appreciate that, Troy. I tell everybody in my company, and I firmly believe this, that every position in a company is important, or else it wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And so there is the need for every position, and that is important. I miss them, and to tell them I miss them. So
I will.
Look forward to seeing them. It's always a bright part of the day.
It is. So how do we get, again, back to information? Is there aggregated information that Ataraxis can share? Maybe we can put it on a site. Maybe we can put some information out on how to get a hold of you. How do we get a hold of you to answer these questions?
Yeah. So our website, ataraxispeo.com. We have put on a COVID-19 section where we're putting all the communications that we're sending out are on there. They talked me into doing some videos about certain topics. So I've got a few of those out there that you can watch as well. And we're really just trying to make sure we're keeping the information as up to date as possible. And as it comes out and we learn it, that's what we're putting out. Right now, what we're telling our clients is that we're putting the information together for them as what we know they're going to need for these PPP loans.
Yeah.
And as we have that information, I'm trying to work out a deal right now to where we can submit directly to the banks for our clients so that they don't have to mess with it.
Really?
Yeah. And that would be ideal. That way that the bank knows that the information they're getting is accurate and is real, and they don't have to go through and attest it any further than that.
Oh, that is huge.
Hey, Steve, I want one more big question for me. And we had our all employee meeting this morning. We have a kind of a huddle in the morning with the executive team, and then we have a little bit larger meeting during the day, and then we have an all employee once a week. And one of the things that we talked about, we went through each kind of segment of our business and industry and talked about how people are doing, how they're working from home. And the theme of the entire morning was, our crisis mode was probably 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks ago, where we were assessing the patient and saying, okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
Let's get them stable. Let's get this patient on a monitor, on a ventilator, and make sure they're stable. And we're kind of through that now. The next phase for us is, okay, the patient's still in critical condition, the business, right? But here's the next phase for us is, how do we improve the processes right now that we may not have had as clean as we should have before going in? And now that we have employees with a little more time, is our employee handbook where it needs to be? Our HR department where it needs to be? Are we doing stuff, some of the trainings that we should have always been up to? What's our processes? Really kind of a top to bottom. And I've asked each of our departments to say, okay, what are your processes from top to bottom? What are you doing? What should you be doing? And how can you take advantage of this time that you have now, where you may have a little more time to focus on improving processes? So speak a little bit to not just being maybe a little bit paralyzed or anxious and figuring all this out, but also looking to the future so that when this thing revs back up, you're at the front of the line, you got that kinetic energy going, and you're just ready to bust through that wall instead of having to start it all up over again.
Yeah. You're exactly right on what you're doing with your employees and assessing all this stuff, because this is, it's usually a lot of times it's the only time we look at it is when, is my ammunition dry and my guns work when I need to fire? And unfortunately we do that too late. So doing that now is really important. I think if we look at it from an opportunity standpoint, the PPP loans for a lot of businesses, what that's going to do, because not every business, but there's a lot of businesses out there who are going to have a few employees that right now their normal duties, you can't do them. Whether the businesses you work with normally aren't in business or something, you just can't do them. Well, in a normal situation, you're either going to lay the person off, you're going to tell them to go take a furlough, you're just not going to pay you, go home. Well, you got a PPP loan that is going to give you enough money to pay these people for basically 2 months, 8 weeks. It's forgivable. What an opportunity, because I've had clients ask me, and I've had other business owners who are like, what am I supposed to do with these people? Do I just pay them? I'm like, well, yeah, you do have to pay them.
Yeah.
You could pay them to be home and not do anything. But I'm sure there's things you could do in your business that would improve your business that you never have time to do. Everybody's like, well, I really like to build that process, but I don't have time to do that. Well, guess what?
Now you do.
Your staff that's going to be paid for 8 weeks, not by you, that you can make your business better and you can come out in such an amazing place far ahead of it.
And far absolutely.
Because I guarantee you, most are not going to do this. But if you look at this as an opportunity to say, I can take people and have them do things we've always wanted to do to improve our business, you're going to come out ahead. There's no way you won't.
Steve, I want you to spell Ataraxis just so everybody hears it. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, by the way, no joke, all in seriousness, we're getting ready to sign a contract with you because of this. Because of your core expertise, because of your leadership, and truly because, I got to give the referral to my sister. So she's awesome. But we're looking at everything.
Steve, in all seriousness, I got to jump in here. I already have a contract, and I'm super happy. So
are you really?
I don't know why Troy's so slow.
I've tried for years. I always felt that it was really a knock to my salesmanship that I couldn't get Troy to sign up.
I just wonder why you guys don't use a system called Tavuti. That's all I want to know.
That was one of the exciting things that we want to do because
yeah.
I want to plug Tavuti because it is, first of all, this right here is much better than Zoom because everybody doesn't cut out when somebody else talks.
Thank you.
So kudos to you guys. It's a great platform. Everything looks great. Secondly, you now have a remote workforce. I don't think we're going to see business as usual when this is done.
I agree.
See now that hey, wait, I can work from home. My kid's sick. Let me stay home today. I can be effective, and I've proven it. So I think business is going to change, which means you're going to have to look at how you run your business, the policies and procedures you have for running your business, and what resources you have for your employees. And so Tavuti is one of those platforms that we're looking at saying, how do we make this not only for our employees, but how can I bring this to all my clients? Because it's a valuable, valuable resource. Not only the trainings that you can put on here, but the communications and the full platform in one. It's impressive, Troy. I've been watching this from when you started with, and
awesome. I am
truly impressed with this platform. It is amazing and probably the best I've seen. I also want to know if you're targeting me because I see your ads all over Google every time.
it's your sister. It's your sister. I'm sure
it is. In all honesty, here's what I want to say to everybody that's listening. You have three community leaders that truly, whether you knew who I was, who Steve was, who Tommy was, that are showing consistent behavior throughout crisis. And you have true community leaders, even my followers, I'll tell you, I know enough to know I don't know enough. So what I do is I turn to these resources because without a network, I don't have a net worth. And right now we're in a global crisis and I want to keep my net worth. So that's why when you hear us in jest and tongue in cheek, but in serious tone, we're contracting, we're working, and we're collaborating with leaders that don't just have great products and services, but have great mental mindsets. Absolutely great mental mindsets. Steve is talking about opportunity. He's not talking about crisis. He's talking about how to find opportunity in crisis. You've got Tommy Ahlquist that is talking about seeing life beyond the obvious, seeing how to discover opportunity past this. And that's why this ecosystem is so valuable. When you hear us talk about Ataraxis, it's not a plug. When you hear us talk about BVA, it's not a plug. When you hear them talking about Tavuti, it's not a plug. It's because we network to create a net worth of giving. And I think it's important to point that out.
Yeah, and Troy, the only thing I'll add at the end of this too is I do think that sometimes, and that's what I love about your shop, Steve, is someone may not need the full complement of services, but they don't know what they don't know. And so having you come in, we learn wisdom and we grow when we make mistakes, but it's far better to learn that wisdom if someone else can tell you, hey, I just was with 10 other companies that made the mistake. than letting us make the mistake on ourselves. And that's what you've done for us, is you've come in, and we didn't need the full complement, but we certainly needed parts and pieces of that. And what I love about your platform is you come in, you do an assessment, you say, here are your resources, here are your needs, here are your holes, here's your blind spots, which blind spots are the big ones, and here's how we're going to fix them for you. I can't imagine doing it alone. And I think that's my final word, is if anyone out there is listening, if you need help, here's who you can go to here in our local community. They'll help you. They'll take care of you. And I think it's been really fun watching you interact with Troy's sister, because that's the way you deal with people. And that's an expectation you set with your employees. And it's an expectation that your customers have when they come to you. So it's been a pleasure having you on. I know you're going to help a lot of people through today's podcast. And again, I think we'll make all that information available so that they can get to your website and get those needed resources they need. So thank you so much, Steve. We really, really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you both. It's nice to work with both of you and to call you both friends. So I appreciate the time. And if anything I can do to help either one of you, you know I'm here. And anybody that's listening, I'm always happy to help. It's like I said, it's about abundance. Abundance creates opportunity.
That is true. You guys, we're going to sign off with the Inspire Excellence podcast, but I want to sign off with saying that Idaho innovators stick together, pray together, work together, and Idaho innovators are what's going to get us through this entire crisis towards abundance. Tommy Ahlquist, Troy McClain, and special guest Steve Soleil. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Inspire Excellence podcast. We invite you to find something that inspires you this week. Join us again for our next episode.